Ihre Bibel prophezeit für die Endzeit eine bösartige Allianz zwischen Deutschland und den gemäßigten arabischen Nationen. Das Hauptziel dieser Allianz ist die Vernichtung der modernen Nachkommen des alten Israel. Erfahren Sie, was bald im Weltgeschehen geschehen muss, um diese tödliche Allianz zusammenzubringen. Jetzt in der Schlüssel Davids mit Gerald Fleury.
Ich begrüße Sie. Ich möchte heute mit Ihnen über eine sehr geheimnisvolle Prophezeiung sprechen. In den Kommentaren gibt es dazu einige starke Aussagen, aber Sie verstehen nicht wirklich, was sie bedeutet. Und es ist etwas für diese Endzeit, das wir wirklich verstehen müssen. Es geht um einen bevorstehenden Krieg, auf den wir uns in dieser Endzeit vorbereiten müssen. Und das sollten wir unbedingt verstehen. Es handelt sich um eine Prophezeiung, die die Politik in Europa und im Nahen Osten steuert. Es ist etwas, das sich im Moment wie nie zuvor aufheizt und das sich vor unseren Augen entfaltet. Sie und ich müssen das wirklich verstehen, denn es wird ein Teil der Ereignisse sein, die sich in Ihrer Region und in vielen Teilen der Welt abspielen. Wir müssen das also verstehen. Lassen Sie mich Ihnen vorlesen, was es mit dieser mysteriösen Prophezeiung auf sich hat. Wir schrieben dies am 15. April 2024. Und dann wird sich auch zeigen, ob etwas von Deutschlands politischem Kapital, politisches Kapital, was ist das? Nun, es heißt weiter, in der arabischen Welt verbleibt, das dazu beitragen kann, eine Allianz gegen den Iran zu schmieden und die Region zu stabilisieren. Hier geht es also um die Prophezeiung, die wir unbedingt verstehen müssen. Nun, hier ist etwas, das wir bereits 2012 geschrieben haben. Ich zitiere es für Sie und sage Ihnen, dass wir etwas über Deutschland und die Denkweise der Deutschen in dieser Situation verstehen müssen. Hier ist, was wir geschrieben haben. Wie Brett McDonald im April schrieb, ist der Grund, warum Deutschland wesentlich mehr an Syrien interessiert ist als an Libyen, ist, dass es mit Berlins größeren geopolitischen und strategischen Ambitionen für den Nahen Osten übereinstimmt. Nun, sie haben geopolitische und strategische Ambitionen für den Nahen Osten. Nun, die Sache ist größer, als die meisten Leute denken. Und Deutschland hat größere geopolitische und strategische Ambitionen als jeder andere im Nahen Osten. Und das ist es, was wir sehen werden, wenn sich dies alles entwickelt. Und weiter heißt es, eines der Hauptziele Deutschlands im Nahen Osten ist es, eine Achse mit den Staaten des Nahen Ostens aufzubauen, die sich gegen den Iran stellen. Mit anderen Worten, sie wollen Hilfe und sie wollen sich mit den sogenannten gemäßigten Arabern verbünden. Und das ist etwas, was die Welt nicht sieht. Nicht annähernd so, wie sie es sollte. Und es hat alles mit dieser geheimnisvollen Prophezeiung zu tun. Nun, wo ist diese Prophezeiung? Lassen Sie mich zunächst ein Zitat aus Die Welt aus Deutschland geben, und zwar vom 14. April dieses Monats. Und hier steht, dann müsste der euroasiatische Warenhandel wieder um Afrika herumgeleitet werden. Das heißt, wenn sie es nicht durch das Rote Meer schaffen. Und die Transportkosten auf einer der wichtigsten Handelsrouten der Welt würden erheblich steigen. Dann geraten aber auch die deutschen Streitkräfte ins Kreuzfeuer. Denn schon heute sichert die deutsche Marine im Rahmen einer EU-Mission die kommerzielle Schifffahrt in dem Seegebiet, das demnächst ein heißes Schlachtfeld werden könnte. Na, wie finden Sie das? Und das kleine Israel oder Juda hat in diesen Tagen eine Menge Ärger. Es liegt sehr nahe an der Hisbollah im Libanon und man sagt, dass diese 140.000 starke Raketen hat, die das kleine Israel sehr leicht erreichen könnten. Was wird sich also hier abspielen? Psalm 83. Darin werden speziell die Nationen des Nahen Ostens genannt, die sich Deutschland anschließen werden. Und diese Nationen werden auch den Iran zuerst erobert haben. Vor allem Deutschland, und Deutschland führte natürlich die Verbündeten an. Sie haben die wahre Macht. Und warum? Und warum ist das so? Wie konnte das passieren? Wir sollten sie eigentlich davon abhalten, jemals wieder Waffen zu bauen und Krieg zu führen. Aber das haben wir vergessen. Auch wenn wir es nach dem Zweiten Weltkrieg gesagt haben. Schon jetzt wächst das Ganze sehr schnell, wie die Welt berichtet. Die deutsche Marine im Rahmen einer EU-Mission die kommerzielle Schifffahrt in dem Seegebiet, das demnächst ein heißes Schlachtfeld werden könnte. Es ist kurz davor zu explodieren. Und Deutschland sieht das und will die Kontrolle über den Nahen Osten erlangen. Und das werden sie auch. Das werden sie auch tun. Denn diese Prophezeiung wird ihnen das auf eine dringliche Weise zeigen. Deutschland stellt sich also mit dem Schwert eines nahöstlichen Machtblocks gegen die iranische Hegemonie. Und genau da sind wir jetzt. Über das Bündnis des Nahen Ostens, das sich mit Deutschland verbündet, wurde schon vor tausenden von Jahren gesprochen und diskutiert, und hier erfüllte sich nur in dieser Endzeit und in keiner anderen Zeit. Und das werden wir Ihnen zeigen, und selbst die Kommentare verstehen das. Psalm 83 und Vers 2. Gott schweige doch nicht, Gott bleibe nicht so still und ruhig. Denn siehe, deine Feinde toben. Das ist Psalm 83, Verse 2 bis 4. Weiter heißt es, und die dich hassen, erheben das Haupt. Sie machen listige Anschläge wider dein Volk und halten Rat wider die, die bei dir sich bergen. Das sind Gottes eigene Leute, die die Botschaft überbringen. Irgendjemand muss diese Botschaft überbringen. Wer tut das? Nun, Psalm 83 sagt uns genau hier, dass sie überbracht werden wird, und sie müssen wissen, wer der Einzige ist, der diese Prophezeiung überbringt. Das Volk Gottes. Gottes Volk, das beschützt wird, sind diese in diesem Zusammenhang, über den ich in Psalm 83 sprechen werde. Sie werden einen Ort der Sicherheit gebracht, an dem Gott dafür sorgen wird, dass sie nicht getötet oder verletzt werden. Denn im Nahen Osten werden viele schreckliche Dinge geschehen und beginnen zu geschehen. Hier haben wir also die Nation des prophetischen Israels, von der hier die Rede ist, und das wären im Wesentlichsten drei Nationen. Drei Nationen, aber Gott spricht auch über sein geistliches Israel, und er wird es beschützen. Und er wird es nur beschützen, weil es bereut und gehorcht. Wie Gott sagt, dass wir es tun müssen, wenn wir von Gott beschützt werden wollen. Wir alle könnten beschützt werden, wenn wir nur Gottes Warnung beherzigen würden. Und dieser Psalm 83 ist eine eindringliche Warnung vor dem, was in der westlichen Welt vor sich geht. Das ist ein großer Teil davon. Gott hat also sein Volk beschützt, und all das führt direkt zu der Wiederkunft Christi. Und das ist natürlich die gute Nachricht. Und dann geht es in Vers 5 um die, die beschützt werden, um die Beschützten. Und dann gehen wir zu Vers 5, wo es heißt: Wohlan, sprechen sie, lasst uns sie ausrotten, dass sie kein Volk mehr seien und des Namens Israel nicht mehr gedacht werde. Sie wollen den Namen nicht einmal mehr hören, sie wollen ihn auslöschen. Sie wollen alles darüber auslöschen. Und es ist wirklich Gottes Plan, und sie werden nicht gewinnen. Wir werden am Ende immer gewinnen, das ist das Versprechen Gottes. Sie haben es hier also mit drei Nationen zu tun, die sich in Schwierigkeiten befinden, und all das wird Ihnen in unserem Buch Die USA und Großbritannien der Prophezeiung erklärt werden. Aber Amerika und Großbritannien und der jüdische Staat sollten sich auf jeden Fall Sorgen machen, denn Gott warnt sie und auch andere. Und wenn Sie sich die Verse 26 bis 28 in 2. Könige 14 ansehen, dann sehen Sie, dass sie wieder versuchen, den Namen Israels auszulöschen. Das ist ein Buch der früheren Propheten, nämlich 2. Könige. Und das müssen wir verstehen. Wir müssen verstehen, wer diese Nationen sind, von denen hier die Rede ist. 10 von ihnen, allein in diesem Psalm. 10 von ihnen. Das müssen wir also unbedingt verstehen. Gott arbeitet also daran, dass wir zu bereuen beginnen und uns von unseren Sünden abwenden. Wer warnt also noch vor Psalm Kapitel 83? Kennen Sie noch jemanden? Nun, ich kenne niemanden. Das Volk Gottes in dieser Endzeit ist nicht versteckt. Sie sind überhaupt nicht versteckt. Nun, sie sind zu einer bestimmten Zeit geschützt, aber sie schreien laut und warnen die Menschen vor dem, was kommen wird. Nicht nur in der westlichen Welt, sondern in der ganzen Welt. Sie haben die große Trübsal und den Tag des Herrn vor sich, das größte Leid, das es je auf diesem Planeten gab. Und Gott möchte, dass wir seine Botschaft und Warnung beherzigen, damit diese Dinge nicht ein so verheerendes Ende nehmen. Aber wir, das Volk Gottes, werden uns sicherlich nicht verstecken. Aber der Name Israels, sehen Sie, der Name Israels, die wollen nichts, die wollen gar nichts mehr davon wissen. So sehr hassen sie ihn, die wollen sich nicht daran erinnern. Und sie hassen Gott. Denn das ist Gottes Masterplan. Und nun lesen wir Psalm 83, die Verse 6 bis 9. Sie können über einige dieser Länder lesen, die mit Deutschland verbündet sind. Es sind 10, wenn man Deutschland mitzählt. Und wenn Sie unser Buch Der König des Südens noch nicht haben, müssen Sie es beantragen. In diesem Buch werden wir Ihnen all das und all diese Nationen erklären. Denn was hätten diese alten Nationen für einen Sinn? Niemand scheint zu wissen, wer sie heute sind. Aber wenn wir das nicht wüssten, wäre dieser Psalm 83 wertlos und ohne jeden Wert für uns. Ohne jeden Wert. Hier steht also, ja, sie haben einmütig beraten und haben einen Bund wider dich gemacht. Die Zelte Edoms und die Ismaeliter, Moab und die Hagariter, Gebal, Ammon und Amalek, die Philister mit denen von Tyrus, auch Assur oder Syren, das wäre besser, das ist heute Deutschland, hat sich zu ihnen geschlagen, sie helfen den Söhnen Lots, Selah. Aber sie haben noch viel mehr getan, als nur den Kindern Lots zu helfen. Ich lese Ihnen hier ein Zitat vor. In der Geschichte hat es nie ein solches Bündnis gegeben, um Israel anzugreifen oder völlig zu vernichten. Das ist es, was Ihnen die Kommentare sagen. Das hat es noch nie gegeben. Das liegt daran, dass es nur für diese Endzeit gilt. Die Geschichte überliefert keine Aufzeichnungen über die nationale Krise, als die in diesem Psalm aufgezählten Nationen ein Bündnis schlossen, um Israel zu vernichten. Längst Kommentar weist darauf hin, die 10 Nationen, die hier aufgezählt werden, weil sie sich gegen Israel verbündet haben, werden nirgendwo anders als Feinde erwähnt, die sich zur gleichen Zeit mit dem Ziel verbündet haben, Israel zu vernichten. Das hat es noch nie gegeben. Nun, was geht hier vor? Was will Gott uns sagen? In Vers 8 in der Elberfelder Bibel heißt es, auch Assur, das ist das Syrien heute, das ist Deutschland. Genau das ist es. Auch Assur hat sich ihnen angeschlossen. Sie sind zu einem Arm geworden, heißt es da, den Söhnen Lots. Aber sie sind der starke Arm der ganzen Armee oder Armeen, könnte man in gewisser Hinsicht sagen. Aber hier ist es der König des Nordens, der den König des Südens, also den Iran und seine Verbündeten, besiegt. Eine Nation übernimmt also die Kontrolle über den gesamten Nahen Osten und wendet sich den Irak, den Iran, Ägypten, Libyen und Äthiopien ansehen, werden sie feststellen, dass sie in den Psalmen nicht vorkommen. Warum ist das also so? Weil sie mit dem Iran verbündet sind. Und sie werden schon sehr bald von Deutschland und seinen Verbündeten, seinen arabischen Verbündeten, übernommen werden. Und sie werden das erleben. Und zwar noch zu ihren Lebzeiten. Wenn sie überhaupt noch lange leben. Und dann in Jesaja Kapitel 10, die Verse 5 und 7. Dort benutzt Gott diese Menschen, um sein eigenes Volk zu korrigieren. Sein Volk, das bereuen sollte und es nicht tut. Das Volk, das den Namen Israel trägt. Diese drei Nationen sind in Wirklichkeit das prophetische Israel von heute. Und das erklären wir Ihnen in unserem Buch Die USA und Großbritannien in der Prophezeiung. Und dieses Buch, wenn Sie es nicht haben, dann bitte beantragen Sie es und all das wird erklärt. Und auch in der Broschüre über der König des Südens. Und diese modernen Namen werden Sie sehen. Sie werden erfahren, wer sie sind und wie wichtig es ist, dass wir sie verstehen. Das Wall Street Journal sagt, dass diese neue rechtsgerichtete Partei in Deutschland, die AfD, ein Akronym, eine rechtsextreme politische Partei ist und schneller als jede andere Partei in Deutschland wächst. So verstehe ich das. Die rechtsextreme Partei, die auch als Nazi-Partei bezeichnet wird, könnte so genannt werden, weil sie sich wirklich darauf zubewegt und die Demokratie stören wird. So die Befürchtung des Wall Street Journals. Deutschland verbündet sich mit dem Nahen Osten und ich meine, sie geben viele Milliarden Dollar für den Aufbau ihres Militärs aus. Und sie steigen einfach so schnell auf, dass die Menschen nicht einmal wissen, dass sie bereits eine Supermacht sind. Und sie werden noch viel stärker werden, weil sie einfach alles daran setzen, ein Militär aufzubauen, das zwei Weltkriege ausgelöst hat und uns aufhorchen lassen sollte. Werden sie es wieder tun? Ja. Ja, sie werden es wieder tun. Das ist es, was ihre Bibel sagt. Sie werden es tun. Also, wer versteht das? Wer ist es? Wir verkünden das nun schon seit 75 Jahren. Und Gott sagt, okay, ich habe euch in diesen Jahren mehrfach gewarnt. Ich werde ein letztes Mal vorübergehen und das war's dann. Amos 7 und Vers 8. Das ist ein Buch über die Endzeit. Das zeigt Ihnen unsere Broschüre dazu. Unsere gesamte Literatur ist kostenlos. Sie bekommen sie umsonst. Wir wollen es so weit wie möglich verbreiten. Sie müssen diese Dinge also selbst lesen. Gott will, dass wir bereuen. Wir alle. Das schließt mich und alle anderen ein. Er wird diese Welt in kürzester Zeit vollständig bekehren. Und das werde ich Ihnen auch hier am Ende zeigen. In Psalm 83 in den Versen 14 bis 19 heißt es, mein Gott, mache sie wie verwehende Blätter, wie Spreu vor dem Wind, wie ein Feuer den Wald verbrennt und wie eine Flamme die Berge versenkt. So verfolge sie mit deinem Sturm. Und weiter heißt es, bedecke ihre Angesicht mit Schande, dass sie Herr nach deinem Namen fragen müssen. Schämen sollen sie sich und erschrecken für immer und zu Schande werden und umkommen. So werden sie erkennen, dass du allein der Höchste bist über die ganze Erde. Herr ist dein Name. Gott ist dabei, die Macht zu übernehmen. Darum geht es hier. Und ich möchte Ihnen hier am Ende noch etwas zeigen, das ich für sehr wichtig halte. In den Psalmen von Franz Delitzsch heißt es in seinem Kommentar in Vers 2, Elohim, du sollst nicht ruhen. Sei nicht still und ruhe nicht, o Gott. Warum benutzt Gott nun das Wort Elohim? Nun, das werde ich gleich erklären. In Vers 13 steht das Gleiche, aber beachten Sie, dass Sie Gott angreifen und es nicht wissen. Vers 13. Aber wie auch immer, hier heißt es, lasst uns die Wohnstätten Elohims in Besitz nehmen. Oder die Familie Gottes, das Volk Gottes und die Nation Israels, die all dies der Welt verkünden sollten, oder zumindest einen großen Teil davon, und ihnen zeigen, wie man auf Gottes Art und Weise lebt und Erfolg und alle Arten von Wohlstand hat, und sicher und geborgen ist, und keine oder fast keine Gewalt hat. So ist es aber nicht. Was ist hier schiefgelaufen? Sehen Sie, sie kämpfen gegen die Familie Gottes. Das ist es, was das bedeutet. Nun, lassen Sie mich Ihnen die Definition dafür geben. Das mit Gott übersetzte hebräische Wort ist Elohim. Diese beiden Wörter, die ich erwähnt habe. Ein Wort, das im grammatischen Sinn als Singular behandelt wird, seiner Bedeutung nach aber als Plural aufzufassen ist. Ein Sammelbegriff wie Familie, Kirche, Gruppe. Eine Familie, die aus zwei oder mehr Mitgliedern besteht. Eine Kirche, die sich aus vielen Mitgliedern zusammensetzt. Eine Gruppe von mehreren Personen. Gott ist eine Familie. Er möchte, dass auch die Menschen, die Feinde Israels sind, dies verstehen. Er möchte, dass alle Menschen auf der Welt das verstehen. Wenn Sie sich Johannes Kapitel 1 ansehen. Johannes Kapitel 1. Das sollten Sie lesen, wo Gott und das Wort zu Gott dem Vater und Gott dem Sohn wurden. Warum ist das geschehen? Nun, wenn ich es Ihnen kurz zeigen kann, werde ich Ihnen sagen, was Gott sagt. Es ist so aufregend mit dieser Familie. In Hebräer Kapitel 2 möchte ich hier auf etwas hinweisen. In Vers 8 heißt es, alles hast du unter seine Füße getan. Wir werden das ganze Universum bekommen. Als er ihm alles unter die Füße getan hat, hat er nichts ausgenommen, was ihm nicht untertan wäre. Jetzt aber sehen wir noch nicht, dass ihm alles untertan ist. Und dann Vers 10. Denn es ziemte sich für den, um dessen Willen alle Dinge sind und durch den alle Dinge sind, der viele Kinder zur Herrlichkeit geführt hat. Sehen Sie, es ist nicht nur Gott der Vater und Gott der Sohn, er wird viele Menschen Herrlichkeit bringen, viele Söhne der Herrlichkeit, viele von ihnen. Darum geht es in diesem ganzen Plan. Er möchte, dass auch die gewalttätigen Angreifer dies lernen. Gott wird dies der ganzen Welt beibringen und er wird sie in seine Familie aufnehmen, in seine Familie. Das ist ein erschütterndes Ziel, das wir für uns selbst haben sollten und das wir verstehen müssen. Bis nächste Woche. Sie hörten Gerald Flury. Auf Wiedersehen, Freunde.
Your Bible foretells a villainous alliance between Germany and the moderate Arab nations in this end time. The main purpose of this alliance is to destroy the modern descendants of ancient Israel. Learn what must soon happen in world events to bring this deadly alliance together. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Greetings, everyone. I want to discuss a very mysterious prophecy with you today, and the commentaries have some strong statements about this, but they don't really understand what it means. And it is something for this very end time that we really need to understand. It's about a war that's coming, and we need to be prepared for it in this end time, and we certainly should understand this. It's a prophecy that directs politics in Europe and in the Middle East, which is all heating up as never before right now, and it's unfolding before our eyes. You and I really need to understand it because it's going to be a part of unfolding events in your area and in many parts of the world. So we need to understand about this. Let me read to you what this mysterious prophecy is all about. We wrote this on April the 15th, 24. Then it will also become clear whether any of Germany's political capital, what's that? Well, they go on to say, remains in the Arab world that can help forge an alliance against Iran and stabilize the region. So this is talking about that prophecy. That prophecy that we really need to understand. Here's something we wrote way back in 2012. I'll quote it for you. And I'll tell you this, this reveals something that we need to understand about Germany and how their thinking is in this situation. Here's what we wrote. The reason Germany is substantially more interested in Syria than it was in Libya, as Brad McDonald wrote in April, is that it meshes with Berlin's larger geopolitical and strategic ambitions for the Middle East. Now, they have geopolitical and strategic ambitions for the Middle East. Well, this is larger than most people think. Germany has larger geopolitical and strategic ambitions than anybody else about the Middle East. And you'll see that as this all unfolds. And we went on here in this statement, one of Germany's primary aims in the Middle East is to develop an axis with Middle Eastern states that oppose Iran. In other words, they want help. They want to ally themselves with what is called the moderate Arabs. And this is something the world does not see. Not nearly the way they should, and it has to do with that mysterious prophecy. Where is that prophecy? Well, let me first give you a quote here from Welt Medium from Germany, and that's April the 14th of this month. And here's what it says. The Euro-Asian trade in goods would then have to be routed around Africa, that is, if they can't do it through the Red Sea. And transportation costs on one of the world's most important trade routes would rise considerably. But then the German armed forces would also be caught in the crossfire. The German Navy is already securing commercial shipping as part of an EU mission in the sea area that could soon become a hot battlefield. Well, how about that? And Israel, little Israel or Judah, is having a lot of trouble these days, and they're very close to they adjoin the Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they are said to have 140,000 powerful missiles that can very easily reach the little nation of Israel. So, what is going to unfold here? Psalm 83. This specifically identifies the Middle Eastern nations that will join Germany. And they will have also conquered Iran first, especially Germany, and Germany led the Allies, of course. They have the real power. And why is that? How did that happen? We were supposed to keep them from ever building armaments and warfare again. But we forgot about that, even though we said it after World War II. So already, this is growing very fast, this medium had this to say, Welt, the German Navy is already securing commercial shipping as part of an EU mission in the sea area that could soon become a hot battlefield. It's just ready to explode. And Germany sees that, and they want to get control of the Middle East, and they're going to. They're going to, because this prophecy will show you that in a powerful way. Germany, with the support of the Middle Eastern power bloc, is opposing Iranian hegemony. That's where we are now. The Middle Eastern alliance allies itself with Germany. Was talked about and discussed thousands of years ago. And here it is being fulfilled only in this end time and no other time. And we'll show that to you, and even the commentaries understand that. Psalm 83 in verse 1. Keep not your silence, O God, hold not your peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, your enemies make a tumult. This is Psalm 83, verses 1 through 3. It continues, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people Israel and consulted against your hidden, or it should read, sheltered ones. Those are God's own people who deliver the message. Somebody has to deliver this message. Who does it? Well, Psalm 83 tells us right here that it is going to be delivered. And you need to know who is the only one delivering this prophecy. Now, God's people have been taken, they're the sheltered ones, because they, in this context that I'll talk to you about in Psalm 83, they have been taken to a place of protection where God is going to see to it that they are not killed or injured or anything like that, because a lot of terrible things are going to be unfolding and beginning in the Middle East. So here we have the nation, the prophetic Israel, it's talking about here, and that would be three nations, essentially, three nations, but also God is talking about His spiritual Israel. And He's going to protect them. And He's only going to protect them because they are repenting and obeying the way God says that we must if we're going to be protected by God. We all could be protected if we just heed God's warning. And this Psalm 83 is a powerful warning against what is going against the Western world. A big part of it. So God has sheltered His people, and all of this is leading directly into the second coming of Christ. Now that's the good news. We're talking about the sheltered ones. And then let's go to verse 4, where it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They don't even want to hear the name ever again. They want to blot it out, everything about it. And it's really God's plan. And they're not going to win. We'll always win in the end. That's the promise of God. So here you have three nations that are in trouble, and all of that will be explained to you in our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But America and Britain and the Jewish state, they certainly need to be concerned about this because God is warning them as well as others. And if you look at 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 28, you can see that, again, they're trying to blot out the name of Israel. That's a former prophet, 2 Kings is. And it says that the enemy is trying to blot out the name of Israel. And that is talking about three nations rather than just one. And we have to understand that. We must understand who these nations are that is discussed here. 10 of them just in this psalm. 10 of them. So we certainly do have to understand that. God is working to get us to repent and change our ways and get away from our sins. So who else is warning about Psalm 83? Do you know of anybody else? I don't. God's people in this end time, they're not hidden. They're not hidden at all. They're sheltered at a certain time. But they're crying aloud and warning people of what is coming, not only in the Western world, but in the whole world. You have the great tribulation and the day of the Lord coming, the most suffering ever on this planet. And God wants us to heed His message and warning so that we won't have such a devastating end to these things. But we certainly, the God's people, are not ever going to be hidden. But that name of Israel, you see, they don't even want to remember it anymore. That's how they hate it. And it's really hating God, because it is God's master plan. And let's go on now and read Psalm 83, verses 5 through 8. You can read some of these countries that are allied with Germany. There's 10 of them, counting Germany. And you'll have to write for our book on the King of the South if you don't have it. And it will explain all this to you and all those nations to you, because what would be the point of these ancient nations? Nobody seems to know who they are today. But if we didn't know that, this Psalm 83 would be worthless and of no value to us. Of no value. So here's what it says. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Ashur, or Assyria would be better. That's Germany today. Also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, but they've done a lot more than just help the children of Lot. I'll just read you a quote here. There has never been such an alliance to attack or totally destroy Israel in history. That's what the commentaries will tell you. It's never happened before. That's because it's only for this end time. History transmits no record of the national crisis when the nations enumerated in this Psalm formed a league to wipe out Israel. Lang's commentary points out, the 10 nations who are here enumerated as being combined against Israel are never mentioned elsewhere as enemies allied at the same time and for the purpose of annihilating Israel. It's never happened before. Well, what is going on? What does God want us to know? Well, you can see in verse 8 of the Revised Standard Version, it says Assyria rather than Asher. This is Assyria. This today is Germany. That's who it is. Assyria, who has joined them, they are the strong arm, it says, of the children of Lot. They're the strong arm of the whole army, or armies, you could say, in some respects. But here, this is that king of the north that conquers the king of the south, or Iran and their allies. So, one nation gets control, really, of the whole Middle East. And you'll see if you look at Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, they're missing from the psalm. Why is that? Because they're allied with Iran, and they're going to be taken over by Germany and its allies, its Arab allies, very soon. You're going to see that happen, and then you're going to see it in your lifetime if you're around for very long at all. And it is discussed in Isaiah 10, verses 5 and 7, where God is actually using these people to correct His own people that should be repenting and are not. The people that have the name of Israel, those three nations are really prophetic Israel today. And that we explain in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And that book is, if you don't have it, please do get it. And all this will be explained. And also the booklet on King of the South. And those modern names, you will see who they are and how important it is that we understand it. So here, even the Wall Street Journal says that this new right-wing party in Germany called the AfD acronym, and it's an extreme right-wing political party, and it's rising faster than any other party in Germany, as I understand it. The far right, called the Nazi Party, it could be called that, because that's what it's really moving toward. And it's going to disrupt a democracy they're concerned about here, and according to the Wall Street Journal. Germany is allying itself with the Middle East. And I mean, they are spending many billions of dollars for building their military, and they're just rising so fast that people don't even know that they're already a superpower. And they're going to be much stronger because they're just going all out to build a military that started two world wars and should be causing us to take note. Are they going to do it again? Yes, they are. Your Bible says they are. See, so who understands this? Who is it? We've been proclaiming this for over 75 years. And God says, okay, I've had several warnings for you in those years. I'm going to pass by one last time, and that's it. Amos 7 and verse 8. That's an end time book. Our booklet on that will show you that. All of our material is free. You get it for nothing. We want to get it out there to anybody that we possibly can. So you need to read these things for yourself. God wants us to repent, all of us. That includes me and everybody. He is going to convert this world totally, very quickly. And I'll show you that even here in the conclusion. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, as fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze, or do thou pursue them with your tempest. He goes on to say, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Eternal. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace. Let them know that you alone, whose name is the Eternal, are the Most High over all the earth. God is about to take over. That's what this is about. And I just want to show you something that here at the end that I think is very important. And in the Franz Delitzsch Psalms, his commentary in verse 1, it should read there, Elohim, let there be no repose to you. Be not silent and rest not, O God. Now, why does God use the word Elohim? I'll explain that in a moment. Verse 12 says the same thing. Notice they're attacking God and don't know it. This one says, who said, let us take possession of the habitations of Elohim, or the God family, the very people of God. And the nations of Israel that were supposed to proclaim all this to the world, or much of it, and show them how to live God's way and have success and all kinds of prosperity and be safe and secure and have no violence or almost nil. Yet it's not that way. What has gone wrong here? See, they are fighting against the God family. That's what this means. Let me give you the definition of that. The Hebrew word translated God is Elohim. Those two words I mentioned. A noun or name, plural in form, but normally singular in grammatical usage. It is the same sort of word as family, church, group, one family consisting of two or more members, one church composed of many members, one group of several persons. God is a family. He wants even the people that are the enemies of Israel to understand that as well. He wants everybody in the world to understand it. If you look at John chapter 1, you should read that, where God and the Word became God the Father and God the Son. Now, why did that happen? Well, if I can quickly get this to you, I'll tell you what God says that is so very exciting about that family. In Hebrews 2, I want to point something out here. Verse 8 has this to say, "You have put all things under Him." We're going to be given the whole universe, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him, but now we see not yet all things put under Him. And then verse 10, "It became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." See, it's not just God the Father and God the Son. He wants to bring glory into many people, many sons of glory, many of them. That's what this whole plan is about. And He wants even those violent attackers to learn this as well. God is going to teach the whole world this, and He's going to bring them into His family. Into His family. That's a mind-shattering goal that we should have for ourselves and must understand it. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, The King of the South, The Lion Has Roared, and A Mysterious Prophecy. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God. Your Bible foretells a villainous alliance between Germany and the moderate Arab nations in this end time. The main purpose of this alliance is to destroy the modern descendants of ancient Israel. Learn what must soon happen in world events to bring this deadly alliance together. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I want to discuss a very mysterious prophecy with you today, and the commentaries have some strong statements about this, but they don't really understand what it means. And it is something for this very end time that we really need to understand. It's about a war that's coming, and we need to be prepared for it in this end time, and we certainly should understand this. It's a prophecy that directs politics in Europe and in the Middle East, which is all heating up as never before right now, and it's unfolding before our eyes. You and I really need to understand it, because it's going to be a part of unfolding events in your area and in many parts of the world. So we need to understand about this. Let me read to you what this mysterious prophecy is all about. We wrote this on April the 15th, 24. Then it will also become clear whether any of Germany's political capital, what political capital, what's that? Well, they go on to say, remains in the Arab world that can help forge an alliance against Iran and stabilize the region. So this is talking about that prophecy. That prophecy that we really need to understand. Here's something we wrote way back in 2012. I'll quote it for you. And I'll tell you this, this reveals something that we need to understand about Germany and how their thinking is in this situation. Here's what we wrote. The reason Germany is substantially more interested in Syria than it was in Libya, as Brad McDonald wrote in April, is that it meshes with Berlin's larger geopolitical and strategic ambitions for the Middle East. Now, they have geopolitical and strategic ambitions for the Middle East. Well, this is larger than most people think. Germany has larger geopolitical and strategic ambitions than anybody else about the Middle East. And you'll see that as this all unfolds. And we went on here in this statement, one of Germany's primary aims in the Middle East is to develop an axis with Middle Eastern states that oppose Iran. In other words, they want help. They want to ally themselves with what is called the moderate Arabs. And this is something the world does not see. Not nearly the way they should, and it has to do with that mysterious prophecy. Where is that prophecy? Well, let me first give you a quote here from Welt Medium from Germany, and that's April the 14th of this month. And here's what it says. The Euro-Asian trade in goods would then have to be routed around Africa, that is, if they can't do it through the Red Sea, and transportation costs on one of the world's most important trade routes would rise considerably. But then the German armed forces would also be caught in the crossfire. The German Navy is already securing commercial shipping as part of an EU mission in the sea area that could soon become a hot battlefield. Well, how about that? And Israel, little Israel or Judah, is having a lot of trouble these days, and they're very close to they adjoin the Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they are said to have 140,000 powerful missiles that can very easily reach the little nation of Israel. So, what is going to unfold here? Psalm 83. This specifically identifies the Middle Eastern nations that will join Germany. And they will have also conquered Iran first, especially Germany, and Germany led the Allies, of course. They have the real power. And why is that? How did that happen? We were supposed to keep them from ever building armaments and warfare again. But we forgot about that, even though we said it after World War II. So already, this is growing very fast. This medium had this to say, Welt, the German Navy is already securing commercial shipping as part of an EU mission in the sea area that could soon become a hot battlefield. It's just ready to explode. And Germany sees that, and they want to get control of the Middle East, and they're going to. They're going to, because this prophecy will show you that in a powerful way. Germany, with the support of the Middle Eastern power bloc, is opposing Iranian hegemony. That's where we are now. The Middle Eastern alliance allies itself with Germany was talked about and discussed a thousands of years ago. And here it is being fulfilled only in this end time and no other time. And we'll show that to you, and even the commentaries understand that. Psalm 83 in verse 1. Keep not your silence, O God, hold not your peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, your enemies make a tumult. This is Psalm 83, verses 1 through 3. It continues, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people Israel and consulted against your hidden, or it should read, sheltered ones. Those are God's own people who deliver the message. Somebody has to deliver this message. Who does it? Well, Psalm 83 tells us right here that it is going to be delivered. And you need to know who is the only one delivering this prophecy. Now, God's people have been taken, they're the sheltered ones, because they'd, in this context that I'll talk to you about in Psalm 83, they have been taken to a place of protection where God is going to see to it that they are not killed or injured or anything like that, because a lot of terrible things are going to be unfolding and beginning in the Middle East. So here we have the nation, the prophetic Israel it's talking about here, and that would be three nations, essentially, three nations, but also God is talking about His spiritual Israel, and He's going to protect them, and He's only going to protect them because they are repenting and obeying the way God says that we must if we're going to be protected by God. We all could be protected if we just heed God's warning. And this Psalm 83 is a powerful warning against what is going against the Western world, a big part of it. So God has sheltered His people, and all of this is leading directly into the second coming of Christ. Now that's the good news. We're talking about the sheltered ones. And then let's go to verse 4, where it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They don't even want to hear the name ever again. They want to blot it out, everything about it. And it's really God's plan. And they're not going to win. We'll always win in the end. That's the promise of God. So here you have three nations that are in trouble, and all of that will be explained to you in our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But America and Britain and the Jewish state, they certainly need to be concerned about this, because God is warning them as well as others. And if you look at 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 28, you can see that, again, they're trying to blot out the name of Israel. That's a former prophet, 2 Kings is. And it says that the enemy is trying to blot out the name of Israel. And that is talking about three nations rather than just one. And we have to understand that. We must understand who these nations are that is discussed here. 10 of them just in this psalm. 10 of them. So we certainly do have to understand that. God is working to get us to repent and change our ways and get away from our sins. So who else is warning about Psalm 83? Do you know of anybody else? I don't. God's people in this end time, they're not hidden. They're not hidden at all. They're sheltered at a certain time. But they're crying aloud and warning people of what is coming, not only in the Western world, but in the whole world. You have the great tribulation and the day of the Lord coming, the most suffering ever on this planet. And God wants us to heed His message and warning so that we won't have such a devastating end to these things. But we certainly, the God's people, are not ever going to be hidden. But that name of Israel, you see, they don't even want to remember it anymore. That's how they hate it. And it's really hating God, because it is God's master plan. And let's go on now and read Psalm 83, verses 5 through 8. You can read some of these countries that are allied with Germany. There's 10 of them, counting Germany. And you'll have to write for our book on the King of the South if you don't have it. And it will explain all this to you and all those nations to you, because what would be the point of these ancient nations? Nobody seems to know who they are today. But if we didn't know that, this Psalm 83 would be worthless and of no value to us. Of no value. So here's what it says: "For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Ashur," or Assyria would be better. That's Germany today. "Also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot," but they've done a lot more than just help the children of Lot. I'll just read you a quote here. "There has never been such an alliance to attack or totally destroy Israel in history." That's what the commentaries will tell you. It's never happened before. That's because it's only for this end time. "History transmits no record of the national crisis when the nations enumerated in this Psalm formed a league to wipe out Israel." Lang's commentary points out, "The 10 nations who are here enumerated as being combined against Israel are never mentioned elsewhere as enemies allied at the same time and for the purpose of annihilating Israel. It's never happened before." Well, what is going on? What does God want us to know? Well, you can see in verse 8 of the Revised Standard Version, it says Assyria rather than Asher. This is Assyria. This today is Germany. That's who it is. Assyria, who has joined them, they are the strong arm, it says, of the children of Lot. They're the strong arm of the whole army, or armies, you could say, in some respects. But here, this is that king of the north that conquers the king of the south, or Iran and their allies. So, one nation gets control, really, of the whole Middle East. And you'll see, if you look at Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, they're missing from the Psalm. Why is that? Because they're allied with Iran, and they're going to be taken over by Germany and its allies, its Arab allies, very soon. You're going to see that happen, and then you're going to see it in your lifetime if you're around for very long at all. And it is discussed in Isaiah 10, verses 5 and 7, where God is actually using these people to correct His own people and that should be repenting and are not. The people that have the name of Israel, those three nations are really prophetic Israel today. And that we explain in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And that book is, if you don't have it, please do get it. And all this will be explained. And also, the booklet on King of the South. And those modern names, you will see who they are and how important it is that we understand it. So here, even the Wall Street Journal says that this new right-wing party in Germany called the AfD acronym, and it's an extreme right-wing political party, and it's rising faster than any other party in Germany, as I understand it. The far right, called the Nazi Party, it could be called that, because that's what it's really moving toward. And it's going to disrupt a democracy, they're concerned about here, and according to the Wall Street Journal. Germany is allying itself with the Middle East. And I mean, they are spending many billions of dollars for building their military, and they're just rising so fast that people don't even know that they're already a superpower. And they're going to be much stronger because they're just going all out to build a military that started two world wars and should be causing us to take note. Are they going to do it again? Yes, they are. Your Bible says they are. See, so who understands this? Who is it? We've been proclaiming this for over 75 years. And God says, okay, I've had several warnings for you in those years. I'm going to pass by one last time, and that's it. Amos 7 and verse 8. That's an end time book. Our booklet on that will show you that. All of our material is free. You get it for nothing. We want to get it out there to anybody that we possibly can. So you need to read these things for yourself. God wants us to repent, all of us. That includes me and everybody. He is going to convert this world totally, very quickly. And I'll show you that even here in the conclusion. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, as fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze, or do thou pursue them with your tempest. He goes on to say, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Eternal. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace. Let them know that you alone, whose name is the Eternal, are the Most High over all the earth. God is about to take over. That's what this is about. And I just want to show you something that here at the end that I think is very important. And in the Franz Delitzsch Psalms, his commentary in verse 1, it should read there, Elohim, let there be no repose to you. Be not silent and rest not, O God. Now, why does God use the word Elohim? I'll explain that in a moment. Verse 12 says the same thing. Notice they're attacking God and don't know it. This one says, who said, let us take possession of the habitations of Elohim, or the God family, the very people of God, and the nations of Israel that were supposed to proclaim all this to the world, or much of it, and show them how to live God's way and have success and all kinds of prosperity, and be safe and secure and have no violence or almost nil. But it's not that way. What has gone wrong here? See, they are fighting against the God family. That's what this means. Let me give you the definition of that. The Hebrew word translated God is Elohim. Those two words I mentioned. A noun or name, plural in form, but normally singular in grammatical usage. It is the same sort of word as family, church, group, one family consisting of two or more members, one church composed of many members, one group of several persons. God is a family. He wants even the people that are the enemies of Israel to understand that as well. He wants everybody in the world to understand it. If you look at John chapter 1, you should read that, where God and the Word became God the Father and God the Son. Now, why did that happen? Well, if I can quickly get this to you, I'll tell you what God says that is so very exciting about that family. In Hebrews 2, I want to point something out here. Verse 8 has this to say, "You have put all things under Him." We're going to be given the whole universe. "For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." And then verse 10, "It became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." See, it's not just God the Father and God the Son. He wants to bring glory into many people, many sons of glory, many of them. That's what this whole plan is about. And He wants even those violent attackers to learn this as well. God is going to teach the whole world this, and He's going to bring them into His family. Into His family. That's a mind-shattering goal that we should have for ourselves and must understand it. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, The King of the South, The Lion Has Roared, and A Mysterious Prophecy. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.